Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming. We are approaching Parshas Nitzavim and approaching Rosh Hashanah. Famously, in Parshas Nitzavim, the Torah says, "Ki haMitzvah hazos she'anochi misavecha hayom lo niflesi mimcha v'lo rechokihi." This mitzvah that I command you today is not distant from you. It's not far from you. What mitzvah is the Torah talking about? Ah, oh, Rambam says it could be one or two. The Ramban says, "Ki haMitzvah hazos al kol haTorah kula." Well, you could understand that it's a general statement, referring to the entirety of the Torah. V'han nachon, says the Ramban, no. K'al kol haTorah yomar, it would say, ki haMitzvah asher anochi mitzvah hayom, like in Dvar Berches. A broad statement referring to the entire Torah would just have the term kol haMitzvah. But in this part, Pasuk, we have haMitzvah hazos. So therefore it's what? Al haTshuva. And that's what the whole parak is talking about. And he writes, mitzvah sheitzava osano la'asos kein. So rather, the Torah here is instructing us, number one, there is a mitzvah, it's a commandment that we should do tshuva. Number two, v'nemar b'lashon habenoni, l'rmoz b'haftacha, ki asid hadavar elios kein. So again, it's a two ways to understand the same thing. It's a mitzvah, that means we have an obligation to do it. But it's a mitzvah, and also there's a haftacha, namely that it will happen, Klal Yisrael will do tshuva. And a pasuk yadalid, what does the Torah say? Ki karov eilecha hadavar be'od b'ficha, right? This matter is very close to you in your mouth and in your heart. So the Ramban says, how does that fit into tshuva? What's in your heart and in your mouth? Sheisvadu, says the Ramban, es ha'avonam, namely that is called vidui. Ves avonavosam b'fiyam, right? Meaning the idea of tshuva being in our hearts and in our mouth is a very, very practical matter. V'yashuva v'livavam el Hashem yikavlem kiyum hator ledoros, right? So again, famously the Ramban understands this parak as a reference to the mitzvah of tshuva. Can't not quote that as we have started slichos to already start admitting, confessing our sins. And the verbal work of beficha obviously needs to be in addition to the work of bilvavcha. And we should all at this point be working on an external confession and an internal introspection as well. And the Gemara in Avraham, believe it or not, learns this pasuk in many, many, many ways. But one of them is learned that from Rabbi Yitzchak, responding to the comment of Rabbi Ami, that when someone speaks out Torah, it is easier for him to remember the Torah. That there's, again, a relation between the mouth and the heart. Namely, the more you speak out the Torah, the more you are able to keep the Torah in your heart. So Maseches Erevin and Dalad Man Aleph, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, it's the, I guess the third paragraph on the sheet, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Mehacha, we learn that rule from this pasuk. Ki karov eilecha hadavar me'od b'ficha u'b'vavcha la'asosa. Eimasai karov eilecha, when is the Torah close to you? Meaning, when are you going to become a Talmid Chacham and actually remember the Torah that you learn? Well, b'zman she'b'ficha u'b'vavcha la'asosa. When you what? What does that mean? B'zman at the time she'b'ficha u'b'vavcha la'asosa. You're going to have a better, easier time observing the Torah that you learn, or rather remembering the Torah, if what? Says Rashi, she'yodeh li drosh Hilchos Chag B'Chag. Do you know what will enable you to remember the Torah long term? If you study and you darshan the laws of a holiday before the holidays. If I were to learn Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, maybe I would retain some of it, maybe I would not. But what would ensure my retention? How would I certainly remember the Torah? Hilchos Chag B'Chag. Mamish, this week's Parsha is, believe it or not, an allusion, a reference to learning out the laws of a holiday in advance of a holiday. And again, Rashi has another pshat, Devar Acher, Emasai Simcha Le'ish, Emasai Adam Sameach B'Tamudo, when are you most happy in your learning? When do you have the most enjoyment out of your Talmud Torah? B'Zman She'esh Lo Me'ane, K'she'sho'alim Imenu Devar Halacha, when people ask you Halacha K'shalos. Wow. So this evening we... Oh, absolutely. I mean, when the Torah needs to be alive. Can't be on a bookshelf, the Torah needs to be alive. And this evening we get to fulfill both these pshatim. We will learn Hilchos Chag B'Chag Be'ezus Hashem. We'll learn in Yoni D'Rosh Hashanah. We're literally within a week of Yom Adin. And we get on Shilas. And there's no greater simcha in the world, as the Torah alludes to in this week's Parsha. It should be B'vinu U'Vavenu. So let's begin. The very first halacha in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Rosh Hashanah is what? To wake up to daven Slichos. We know the Machlok is Svardim is all level. Ashkenazim, we start on Motzei Shabbos. We know this one, okay? So hopefully with the shiur this evening, we'll just kind of have an overview run through. At least some of them will say the major points of Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, but certainly not all of them. You know, we'll just do what we can over here. All right, so we know the idea is that what do you need a minimum of four for? What's the idea? Yeah, very good. So why do you need four days? Very good. So the tzedek of the korban. So we'll go with that one. That's the famous one. The other one is less practical nowadays because of fasting. We don't really fast in days anymore. But the Mishnah Berurah says that in order to inspect the korban, what they need to do? Inspect it for a blemish for 4 days. So too, what do we need to do? Spend 4 days inspecting our own blemishes. And what's the korban on Rosh Hashanah? What's the korban on Rosh Hashanah? Yeah, where the korban on Rosh Hashanah? That's the idea. Vasisim ola v'lamid shev Rosh Hashanah yase adam atzmo ki'ilu makiv es atzmo. On Rosh Hashanah, we bring ourselves up, so to speak, as a korban. V'lachein kavud alayem levakir komume chatoso lashuv alayem. Right, meaning the idea is that we have to prepare ourselves to be brought up as a korban kiviyachal. Now, one of the major halachas related to saying slichos. So, if you don't have a minion. What happens if you're an individual? So you are allowed to say the slichos, but you're not allowed to do what? Not allowed to say the imus harachim of zavish b'kedusha. Okay, now there is a way to get around it. You are right, Adam. Step ahead says, technically speaking, what you can do is make it as if you're like learning Torah. You say it with the trup, and then it's like reading psukim. Okay, that's true. And even because a slichos? No, it's Talmud Torah. Very good. Right, very smart. Then you have to say the whole pasuk. Very good. So there are ways to get around it, but again, you have to, let's say, be careful. And even if you're saying slichos and the yigum midas harachamim are in the slichos, meaning you're not saying the yigum midas harachamim, you're saying one of the pismonim or whatever, and one of the stanzas is the yigum midas harachamim, you also, says the Mishnah, would have to skip that. Now, what else would you have to skip if you don't have a minion?
Anything in Aramaic.
Anything in Aramaic, exactly. Right, so anything that is in Aramaic, we don't say without a minion. Okay, so now the other major shaila in slichos is the time. We say the slichos, right? So the famous idea of the chatzos, the morning, ideally, the lashon of the Raman, the Shulchan Aruch, really the Shulchan Aruch, rather, was Nahagim Lakum Bashmoras. Originally, they would wake up extra early and they would tap into this Eis Ratzon, that Hashem is more present, Kiviyachol, and it's more likely to have your tefillah answered at certain times of the day, right before dawn. So in the Aruch HaShulchan, he already brings the minhag to say the slichos during the daytime. But he writes the following. The Balabatim, you need to tell two things regarding slichos. Number one, if you're not fasting, and in a slichos that you're reciting, it mentions the fact that you're fasting, don't say that. Why not? Because that would be called lying. Very good. Kedavar shkarim, don't lie. V'yomru lashon tfila b'makom tainus. So just substitute the word tainus, like not that we're here in tainus, but say that we're here davening. So number one is they have to be very careful to not lie. Number two, Vashenis Kibaharmi Hat Measlichos Niskoshami Rasenuhi Belaila. They call them Alos Ashachar. So if you look at the basic lines that we're reciting, it would suggest that we have woken up. And therefore he says you have to be careful because a lot of times he writes nowadays, Omim Slichos Baochekvar Hayom Gadol, Bahave Dover Shkarim. So again, the Aruch HaShulchan points out these little things, like make sure you don't lie. Because it's not really the middle of the night anymore. Or you're not crying out at nighttime. Shachar Kamti. That's right. So the Aruch HaShulchan would certainly say to just be careful that you don't lie. Nowadays, I daven in TABC every morning at 8 a.m. We start with slichos. Normally, when do we start davening the rest of the year? At 8 a.m. Meaning, there's no change in schedule. We just daven for longer. Instead of 8 a.m. starting with the Berachos HaShachar, we start at 8 a.m. with slichos. And obviously, high school is like that as well. So you might think that's a little strange, but the Aruch HaShulchan is already dealing with the minhag of people saying slichos during the daytime. But certainly the priority, we'll point out, the hierarchy, but the famous tshuva of Rav Moshe, whereby he, explained that what we're really trying to do is tap into an Eis Ratzon. And then Gris Moshe, Aruch HaYim, Chelik Beis, Simen Kuf Hei, Rav Moshe says we're not just trying to tap into the Eis Ratzon of a shul or a tzibur, but clearly we're trying to tap into the Eis Ratzon of the time as day, as well, dafka b'ashmores, and then he says v'hodin mechatzos, right? You don't need to dafka wake up before dawn. That's extremely difficult. You could also stay up late, stay up past midnight. But then he says, what about before chatzos? The famous heter of Ramosha. How does Ramosha present the heter to recite slichos before chatzos? He says aval tzarich lefarsim l'odia. You should make sure to publicize shurak ra'asha mipnei hadchak rak b'shana zu u'l'shana haba yomru slichos bizman. So this heter to recite slichos before chatzos was a one-time heter because people were, I think, afraid to walk at night. They thought it was dangerous, whatever it was. But this is not to be an annual thing. So if a Rishul rabbi knows his kila and says, if we don't do slichos, there won't be any slichos, something like that. All right, so he might have his congregation, but as if it's like just a normal option, you know, people striving for higher standards obviously should be in touch with the fact that saying slichos, the first night of slichos before chatos, they have a 10 o'clock here. Yeah, so not we'll just say, it's I can understand that for a very old people, for, you know, a very limited audience, but to have it as just another option, I would say, is not really an option.
That's why I had the minyan Sunday morning.
Yeah, so that would be very good. So, literally, Motzei Shabbos, I turned on my phone, and one of the TABC boys innocently wanted to know. You know, in Teaneck, I guess one of the shuls had such an option. He wanted to know, what's the deal? I said, don't do it. And I said, if you don't feel like you can stay up, it's worlds better to go to Slichos tomorrow morning before davening as opposed to saying before Chatzos.
Midnight
or Mincha? Meaning
no,
as
not
as
midnight.
No, midnight is nothing. Midnight. There's no such thing as midnight. I mean, 12 a.m. in Halacha is nothing.
Meaning, no, but it was a midnight.
I don't know what that's
same
about.
As 10 o'clock.
Yeah, halachically, same as 10.
You can't say
so, I hear that. If you want to say it's not Motzei Menucha anymore, I hear that. But I just thought it would be kedai to go through the Bata Yosef, again, the newer Sefer that comes up with the Minage of Wayur, of Shechter, the Rav, etc. So, number one, they recorded that the Minage and Wayur is to skip the Piyut Machnisei Rachamim. They're very controversial. About the angels, we usually don't. You like to use intermediaries and use the angels. Yeah, again, it's a beautiful tune, but ultimately they record over here. Minigua used to skip that, so AB saying we should say it because we need the angels more than ever. I hear that. We don't pray to again. It's a little bit of a. All right. So here, in the very first halacha in the Sefer, it is not that one, but I wanted to teach you that one. He says that ideally the slichos is Ashmor Saboker. So what would Ashmor Saboker be this time? I don't know, 4:30 a.m. is a very hard time to kind of tap into. But before Alos HaShachar, what if you can't do that? Let's say there's a very, very tall request for 10 men to gather together at 4:30 in the morning, whatever. So what's the second option? Oh, yeah, Yesh La'omron La'achar Chatzos HaLayla. So the second best option is after Chatzos. And what if you can't do after Chatzos? What should you do? Say it in the morning. What if you can't do it in the morning? Say it in the afternoon before Mincha.
That's
very cool. So says here. How do you know that? How do you know that? How did you know that Rav Avadya Yosef said that?
I heard
him say that. That's amazing. In the footnote, they says, look at Rav Avadya Yosef in the Chazon Avadya. I am Dr. Adam Karp, a high religious man.
From the American Medical Association.
There are very few things that I think I know that Adam doesn't know. That was like one of them. I was like, I thought this was like a cool thing to teach. Like, you could even say, sleep doesn't have them before Minifa. Adam's like, well before you were born, I was like talking to Rav Avadya Yosef about these issues. Okay, thank you for the humility. Okay, good. All right, I'm putting my place as usual. But what does he conclude? Don't say it at night before Chatzos. Don't do it. Unless there's a tremendous need. Okay. So we really try to avoid that. Should be noted. Okay. So that is a little bit about slichos. They say that the minhag of Wayu is to say the vidui three times in slichos. And then there's again shilos about... Yeah, I think Be'ikar Adin, no, certainly one is a very legitimate minhag. Yeah, one or three seems to be the two options. Okay, and then there's interesting Avela Shalos, because there's a minhag for the Shliach Tzibur to take on other tefillos. What if you do if there's a Shliach Tzibur that's an Avela, whatever. So I don't want to get into all the details, but the next topic will be the Shliach Tzibur topic. Does anyone want to have any questions about Slichos? So Slichos are already underway. But again, the main thing, at least for me, is to start emulating the Yigamim Midas Harachamim, right? You know, we know that the famous line in Gemara was that whenever Klal Yisrael needs a help, what should they do? Yasek Seder is it. Not to say the Yigamim Midas Harachamim, but to actually do the Yigamim Midas Harachamim. Right? That means we should be Erech HaPayim. We should be rachmim, and we should have mercy and forgive people when they wrong us, like Hashem forgives us when we wrong Him. And I look at the English a ton. A lot of the pismonim and the stuff like that, especially if you're on a very little sleep. So there's what to say about looking at the English if the Hebrew means nothing to you. So it should be noted. Okay, so the next major topic we'll talk about is the Shliach Tzibur, because the Ramban in this context writes that we should be medaktik to find a Shliach Tzibur that is what? Hayoser Hagun. A gadol b'toyer of masim. Right? Find the best guy in town. Sheyispad lo slichos v'menorayim. He should be 30 years old. He should be married, ideally. But, me'ikar adin, who's kosher to say the slichos? Kol Yisrael k'sherim heim. Rak she merutzo l'kal. Now, what does it mean he should be merutzo l'kal? As opposed to what? What is... If someone who, I think, elbows his way up to the bima and was not voted upon, meaning if you decide that you're the chazan, that's not merutzo l'kal, that's not okay. So it needs to be... Right, it has to be a decision in advance, not a simple thing always, but we'll get to that shortly. All right, now I do have a little bit of what to add over here. The Mishnah Berurah says it should be 30, meaning commenting on that halacha, he says Sha'az Roy Ben Levi La Avoda. So Ben Levi trains for his avoda in Bismidash at 25, and then he can actually work at 30. Utfilu Kineged Avoda. So when we daven, it corresponds to the avoda in Migdash. Then he has another line. So in addition to avoda, he says Vegam Sha'az Libo Nishbar Vinidke.
Reality sets in.
Oh, AB was Machamed. Very good. So he says this idea that when you're 30, your heart is more broken and humble. And in the Shaar Tzion, the Chafetz Chaim says, I don't know what that means. Like, because he's just trying to struggle with this idea.
No, psychologically.
Oh, very good. So it makes sense to AB, makes sense to me.
Not all of your childhood dreams.
Very beautiful. Very good. So the Mishnah Berurah actually thought it was a Tos Sofer, and that he meant to write 60 as opposed to 30. He thought it must have been Ben Shishim, and the Shin, the Samech, which represented 60, must have been confused for a Lamed, because the Lashon there is Libo Nishbar Venidke. But he said, what does that mean? He says, when you're 30, you're Lamed Lekoach. Think about the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. When you're 30 year old, you're strong. So he thought, no, when you're Shishim, you're Zikna.
Chavetz Chaim is right. When you're 30, you think some of your dreams might come true. When you're 60, they're all dashed.
Very good. So he then found the original source of the Or Chaim. And he said, no, really it's 30. But what does it mean? It should be Kimisbar Shnei Havoda. So it really means 25 and up. The mitzvah min a muvcha mi ben lamed, but really preferable 30. Shaz hu b'chatsi yimei hazikna. Once you get to 30, you're halfway to 60. The Pirkei Avos mission assumes that you're quote-unquote zikna when you're 60. So the idea is once you're halfway there, then you realize, like, oh, I'm getting older. So yes, when I turned 30, believe it or not, it really was a milestone. I remember very boldly, like I was walking to shul with my father. It was Sukkot, first night of Yontif. And I said to my father, you know what? I actually feel the difference now that I'm 30. He said, that's right. When you turn 30, you can't mess around anymore. And like that's what he said. You know, not that you can wing life until 30. But, being able to cry on Tisha B'Av. When you're 30, life makes a little bit more sense. You realize what's at stake. You realize what's whatever. So again, the 60-year-olds in the room are laughing at me as usual. That's okay. Adam, I get it. I'm not as life experienced as you. I'm not as knowledgeable as you. Okay, I'll stop talking now. But to me, this idea was very, very inspirational, very meaningful. And AB was Muhammad to it right away. I think there is what to say about the age of 30. I think it is a milestone in its own way. Made sense to me. Yeah. Okay.
40 hits you.
Yeah. Let's go on. All right. I don't know. I thought that was meaningful to me. Let's go on quickly. Thanks a lot, guys. So, all right, now let's talk about the chazan thing for a second. The criteria are very, there are a lot of them, but in the Bate Yosef of the Rav, Mayuhu Minhagim, they say, at least you should have Yorei Shemayim, who knows how to daven and pronounce the words. Those are the two top priorities, because if we don't really have Bizman Hazeh, the Hakpados, that it should be 30, usually it's like, whoever knows how to daven knows how to daven. You should be Yorei Shemayim. And in the Halicha Shlomo, in the name of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, they say at a minimum, you shouldn't be someone who has performed a public aveira. So Rahman al-Aslan, if you know so-and-so is really... yeah, if someone is known to violate a big issue or whatever it is, he should not be... You know, like, we still have standards. It's not like we don't have any standards. Very good. We invite the Avraham to be part of the Tzibur, but not necessarily very smart. So, you know, obviously we have to have standards. Again, you know, in the same way we like the Shlichos, the Arhat Teirim, but you need to know where to draw the line. So too, you know, obviously people want a good davening, and people will hire a chazan with a good voice and something like that. And you know what? I can understand that, especially people who don't really connect to the davening and a chazan who puts on half concert, half davening. It's entertaining slash meaningful and easier to sit through a long davening. And I can totally understand that. But, you know, there needs to be Yirah Shemayim in the mix of it. You know, like, you know, there needs to be a standard. There needs to be a standard. Okay. But what's the most important standard? That I'm going to quote the Aruch HaShulchan. No fighting. Everyone knows this guy schleps, and I would be a better chaz than him. This guy, he's only 30. He doesn't have enough life experience. You know, if I was a Levi, I'd be a better, you know, over the voter than him. You know, ultimately, people get into fights over these things. And therefore, he writes, V'chomi asher yiras elokim bikirbo, anyone who has yiras shemayim inside, yevatel da'ato. He should be the big boy. He should be what we call a vatran. Yevatel da'as af shenira lo she'osim shelo kohogen. Even if they think the shul is making a mistake, they picked the wrong guy to lead the services, kidei shelo yavo lidei machlokes. And guess what he writes? V'api harov hasatan mirakid b'inyanam ke'elu. You want to cause the satan to dance? Get into a fight. It's a beautiful lesson. Never would have been, right? The satan. If you want the satan to dance, get into a fight. But who should be chazen on Rosh Hashanah? V'lachein amishtadel is atzmo limno mechlokes scharo gadol meod. Okay, you know, you want a good zechus going into the new year? Find a lousy chazen and keep your mouth shut. That's essentially. I mean, not find a lousy chazen on purpose, but you know, we all understand. What do you say? Okay. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Again, the requirements. And, you know, I remember. You know, Rabbi. You know, something Rabbi Yosef Adler's not really so well known for is there's a lot of minhagim. You know, because he grew up in Brooklyn in like a shtiebel, he went to like a mazrich or a munkach or whatever. Like, you know, whatever. He just knows. He has a flavor of Europe that, you know, I've never really exposed to. And he said growing up, he was the only one who knew how to daven. He was the only one. So after he turned bar mitzvah, like, you know, they put him up there. They put him up there. Because he was the only one who knew how to say the psukim. And, you know, I remember. So, they, you know, you need a pick. You need the guy who can get the job done. Okay. So, Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah. Minhag to fast. Anyone ever had that minhag? Anyone? It's not so known. Right, so the Bata Yosef brings down that the minhag is to fast ad chatos. Right, so this should be noted that we don't fast the whole day. If you dive into the wrong minyan, yeah, that's true. So, you know, chatos are 12:40-ish. So it should be noted that there is such a minhag, and in the Bata Yosef again, they specifically do present the minhag as what's it called? They don't even say the whole day. That's what they write over here. Moreno Rav Shecht, Misana be'erev Rosh Hashanah, ad chatzos. Ach Moreno Rav Willig, einu Misana. So Rav Willig does not fast at all. Rav Shechter fasts until chatzos. I try to fast until chatzos. But in the original source, the idea was to fast the whole day. Kol tainishlo, shakacham, I'm going to say this out loud. Outside, rather, is that what if you get to Mincha Gedola and you're still fasting, but you're going to break it after? Do you still say Aneinu or not? What would you say? Because what are you going to say Aneinu? Be Yom Tzom Tani. He's going to be planning on breaking your fast right after. Sani Yom Tzom. So this is some poskim would say, don't say Yom Tani. Bottom line is you're allowed to say Aneinu the regular way. The only issue would be if the Shlach Tzibur says it. That's a big problem. You can't make a whole bruch out of it. We don't have Chazar Shashats on a fast that the Tzibur. Because you're fasting. So, Betanis Yachid, you would say, let's say you are Makabal fast, and you have your own personal, you would still say Aneinu in your personal Shemon Esrei. Right? So, Aneinu is a personal thing. As long as it's not the Chazan saying it out loud, adding a separate bracha, what's the big deal? You say it in the middle of Shemakalinu, because in the middle of Shemakalinu, you can add anything.
You say Aneinu on a personal fast?
Yeah. Because what's the big deal? You're just adding tfilos. What? The first time I thought Adam Levine. So what are you doing? You're just adding plakashas during Shema Galena. That's what you're supposed to do during Shema Galena. You're not adding an extra bracha. That'd be a bracha matela. But you're concluding the bracha baruch Hashem shemet tefila. But in contrast, the chazan would end the bracha Hashem ha'ona be'sara. So as long as you don't add another bracha, you're fine. All right. So it should be noted that if you're going to be fasting until mincha gedola, and you're going to be breaking your fast after mincha, you should still say aneinu in the middle of your mincha. If anyone wants to daven mincha gedola, please let me know. I love daven mincha gedola on Erev Rosh Hashanah, because I don't like rushing into mincha. It's a crazy Erev Yom Tov mincha. I want to daven early mincha. And it's a Sunday this year, so I think we should pull it off. We've got two. All right. Two to the exclusion of three. I just put a little pressure on Adam there. And I was just staring at Adam, and he gave me a blank stare back. All right, Jerome, we'll figure this out. All right, we'll figure it out. Okay. It should be noted that in Shulchan Aruch, you will only find the halachos of asking a mechila on Erev Yom Kippur. The Kitter Shulchan Aruch, as well as the Chai Adam, say, why in the blazes would you wait till Erev Yom Kippur to ask mechila? When's the judgment day? Rosh Hashanah. So says the Kitter Shulchan Aruch, he says, Be'er Rosh Hashanah nagu kulam lis anos arachar mincha. Right? And then he says, V'chol ayam yasok betorah uvemitzvos uvetshuva. And mostly, what tshuva should you do in Erev Rosh Hashanah? Bein averus bein adam lachavero. V'lo yamdin an Erev Yom Kippur. Ela yakdim es atzma yom levakish mechavero mechila. So I was at the colloquial minoklais was to call your friend on Erev Yom Kippur. And that's mechila on Erev Yom Kippur. And the kitzur shulchan aruch, and I understand that he's also in the chayim, says, don't wait. Now, a very brilliant footnote of Rav Neventhal, he points out from Shas that clearly people did it on Erev Yom Kippur also, meaning there's what to say about Dafka doing on Erev Yom Kippur, the Fnashim Titaru, and whatever, but ultimately there is no reason to wait, and I like to kind of teach that, why would you wait? If you know you have a personal issue with someone, what are you going to Rosh Hashanah with that for? Get it out, you know, what are you, nuts? Okay, so again, let's just do some more of the Bate Yosef. And that because Ataris Nadarim. So my actually favorite, the thing that I found the most novel was that in Ataris Nadarim, we do it three times. Whatever we do, that three times, that big paragraph, you only need to do it once. Eladai lomar es kol haketa pam achas. So Rav Schechter, they say, points out that, you know what, so there's a concept of saying it three times to be machazik the inyan. It's such a concept of saying it three times. So the idea, but the idea is like this: when you say mutarim lachem, mechulim lachem, shiruyim lachem, that's three times. You're already giving three distinct languages of a Torah. So if you say the paragraph one time, that's like saying machalach, machalach, machalach three times. You're saying again, you're saying a lashon of machal, sharu, sharuy, and mutmutter. So that would be why not? That's pretty cool. I don't know anyone who does that.
Is there a best time
to say Hadaris and Tarasim? The minhag is whatever Rosh
Hashanah. Yeah.
So I would. That's the minhag. I don't know. I don't know if there's a reason to do a dafka in the morning. Yeah. But they also give you the green light to do many people at once. You know, sometimes people feel like guilty. Like, you know, you have like one group of like 10 guys are doing it at once. And like another group, like where everyone does it one at a time, that's always awkward, you know. You know what I'm talking about? Like, so here they say it's Efshar Lakam Arashim Lomar Biyachid Biyachad rather Lifnei HaBeistin. So you could have 10 people doing it there's them at the same time. Yeah.
Then you cannot just rely on the generic comparison.
Oh no, so that's the difference. So I can do it with 10 people, but before we start, I say, oh, by the way, I want to specify I'm usually Makbid to keep only Chalv Israel. And this year, not so. No, but yeah, that's what you have to be mefarit. You have to be mefarit. That's what he writes. Ein atar zedar molim ella im kein mefarit haneder. Adam, you have to be mefarit haneder. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, if you know what it is.
You have to specify. You have to specify.
If there are too many, that you can't be mefarit on. But if you know what they are.
Yeah, if you know what they are, you have to be mefarit. Okay. So women generally obviously don't do Hazar Zadarim. It's just what happens. You realize you couldn't hold it up to it. You don't regret doing the mitzvah. You just realize you can't hold it up.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you don't regret. I mean, no, but you're still stopping. right?
And why do women not do that?
Not that they shouldn't, as much as practically, like, you know. Yeah, that also. Nagu she'isha memanes baila liyos shaliach latarus nadarim shel erev Rosh Hashanah. So the minhag is that the man does it for his wife. And the way Rav Neventhal, I think, presents that is that not that you have to say anything, as much as, like, it's kind of like, just the way it works. Not that anything actually different happens, but formally, what I do is that I tell my wife, oh, I'll do a darznam for you. You know, it's kind of like, at least it's communicated. Okay. So, Leil Rosh Hashanah, we know we do the Simanim. I'm a big fan of the Simanim. So, interestingly, they write in the Bata Yosef, don't say Hashem's name. Ein lomar Hashem Hashem. Don't think that is the min of Klal Yisrael, that they don't say the name Hashem. Hiratzon milfaracha. People usually say the real name of Hashem. But that is, that's a thing quoted here. Whoa. It is important to note, though, that you don't need the simanim to say the hiratzon, right? If you don't want to eat the fish head, you can still dive into Hashem, right? The whole idea.
I'm invited to someone's house because I eat the fish head.
So speaking of getting invited, a couple of things in the Bata Yosef refer to being invited. So, for example, the minhag is not to have nuts, right? Because the gematria of egos is chet. But let's say you get invited out and they serve you something with nuts. Yesh
la'acholosam.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. And the other heter actually was asked the other ones. Yeah, very good. If you have a salad and they're nuts. One time someone asked me the shaila, they had a salad and there were nuts in the salad. Can I have a salad? So they might also hear, if there's arvu dvarim elu b'toch ma'achal, yesh la'achol la'ochlam. But ideally, you shouldn't put in the nuts in the salad. But if you order a salad, oh, there are nuts in there. I didn't realize. Totally fine. But the biggest simon of all, argues the Mishnah Berurah, is what? Not to get into a fight. That's the biggest simon. Because the whole idea is to set the mood and to say it's an auspicious time and it's a pun, you know. My wife grew up in a home where the simanim are a big deal. And it gets, so we have the apple, we have the fish head. And we make up our own simanim to get the kids into it. We want to say, we'll give them apple juice. And we'll say mitz anavim. It should be a year of a lot of mitzvos, right? You know, the idea is you want to, you know, almost like the Pesach Seder. You know, there's no mitzvah to only be like creative parents, like one night a year. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if you want to get kids into it, you could be creative all night a year. Oh, very good. Very good. But the other thing, just to conclude, is that, you know, when we daven as a tzibur, it's important. You know, as a tzibur, we kind of know each other's saros a little bit. It's a time to be in touch with who we're not dominating for ourselves, but you know, when you live in a community, you realize that you're dominating for the guy to the left of you, the guy to the right for you. You're crying together. And the ultimate zechus for a Gemara Chasima Tova is to approach the Ribono Shalom as not an individual, but as a tzibur, Be'ezras Hashem.